Good morning to one and all. It's good that you're here, and I trust that by the time that we depart this morning, that you will agree with that. Just as the prophet of old said, it's good to have been there. And perhaps you'll be able to say exactly the same thing when we conclude with our service this morning. We're going to have a little bit different study this morning than usual, but it is one that is not only profitable, but it is one that is necessary. As time rolls on, it is more common to find individuals that do not study the Word of God. And you ask them why, and they don't know why, they just don't do it. Well, there may be several reasons. But there's one reason for sure that a lot of folks do not study God's Word. And that is because it's not the easiest thing in the world to study. The Bible is different than any other book that you may pick up to study. You cannot begin with the first chapter and the first verse of the book and continually read and study it verse by verse all the way through and come out with a knowledge of God's Word. God said, study to show yourself approved unto God. Why? We have to study it because we may read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and will not know anything yet about the creation. We go over to the New Testament, to the book of John and verse 1 of chapter 1, and we're told something else about the creation. And so it is. To study the Word of God, we have to seek, search, and put it all together. And it doesn't come in one as a pie. It comes in pieces that have to be puzzled together. And folks don't like the word puzzle, so they don't want to study the Word of God because it has to be put together. Just as we would put a word puzzle together. So we're going to study a word this morning, a very common word, one that we use probably just about every day and may not even realize we use the word. It is so common. But it is very necessary. I'm going to read a number of passages, possibly a little slower than I otherwise will speak, in order to give you the opportunity of writing down where these passages are found, because you may want to go back and check them out again by virtue of what we're going to point out in these passages. The word that we're going to study about this morning for just a little bit is things. Do we commonly look up and study the word things? We all understand what we're talking about when we talk about things, don't we? No problem there. No problem there. But in the number of passages that we're going to be looking at in our study for the next few moments, we're going to be noting that the word things is used, but they're not listed. They're not listed. And we're not told very much about the things other than the fact that they are either saving or condemning. One of the two. And we may have to look it up in several passages in order to put the scene together and know what Jesus was revealing unto us when he spoke concerning things. For an example, the book of Hebrews contains seven things that the writer says are better than the Old Testament law. But you have to study all the way through the book in order to find out what those seven things are. They're not given in one passage. And so it is with the word things wherever we find it. It's interesting to note that the word is found some 180 times in the New Testament. That's how common the word is. things. And in the passage we're about to read, you may want to try to keep up and count them as we read the first passage. I think you'll find about 10 of them in this first passage. So if you have your book handy, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we shall begin to read verse 9 through about verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Are you ready? But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There we begin to note the word things. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spirituals. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And we have the mind of Christ. Now, how many times did you count? I think if I remember correctly, there were about 10 times the word thing was used. How many times are we told what things are under consideration by the use of the term things in these verses? So in order to find out all that's under consideration by the word things in these verses, we're going to have to follow through, seek, and find more concerning the word things as they're talked about here. Interesting word, but it's important. They're very important things under consideration. And he's going to list some of the things under consideration as we progress in our study. So, what things? Well, let's continue to read. Notice, if you will, as we study in these passages, the words ye and us are used a number of times. Do you know who it is just by reading we and us in the passages? No. Why? Because it's not told every time. The context usually tells us who the we and the us are that are under consideration. But the context doesn't always tell us what the things are that the we and the us must give some attention to. So we've got to seek and define. Search the Scriptures. Daily, we are instructed. Why? In order to learn what God wants us to know. We've got to seek and find what He wants us to know. We'll keep it longer in our mind if that indeed we do. So just to read it isn't enough. We've got to understand what's being said. Paul makes a statement in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I'm writing so when you read it, you can understand. Now, there's something about the word read in that statement that is very important. It's not a matter of just reading over it like we might read the funny papers. We've got to understand what the words are telling us that we are reading over. And if we do not understand the words that we're reading, we're not going to understand what we have read. So we're going to have to look up some of these words in other passages, putting these passages together in order to learn what the words mean. And that's what a lot of folks don't do. And so consequently, there's a lot of folks that don't know a whole lot about the Scripture because they're not studying correctly in order to understand. So far, we haven't been told much about the things that God is revealing to us in His Word. We're going to have to read more, and we're not going to read all 180 of these verses either, I might mention. Just a few of them. So, continuing on then, we get down to the book of Jude. And in the book of Jude, we find the word again under consideration. Jude, verse 3. I'll get it in a minute. I think. Well, some of my pages are being used so much and my fingers are so oily that they stick together. And consequently, I have trouble. Well, that's aggravating. Can't get the papers turned correctly. Here we go. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now what I want us to see in this verse is how long do we have to study in order to learn the truth? Just simply by reading over it, we know all about it. No, God's Word was given one time and for all time. That's what Jude is telling us when he tells us to if the faith that was once delivered, that's one time and for all time, unto the saints. So we'll never get through examining God's Word. We learn something every time we open the book and begin to read and study. The purpose is to show ourselves approved unto God. So then, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And here we find our term again. Ephesians chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of God, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellows, heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the grace of the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access by confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. And for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And we'll just stop there. We find the word used one time in this reading, but He tells us about a lot of things, and yet it didn't tell us about anything in the reading of these verses. He talked about a mystery, used the term a couple of times. He uses the term in chapter 1, refers to it in chapter 2. And here He uses the term mystery again. Do we know a great deal about the mystery? He mentioned there some things about this mystery that He wants to tell them. Well, now, what things did the apostle tell us about this mystery in order to remove the mystery of the things? Well, if we read on just a little further, or gave consideration to what he says to this point in the book of Ephesians, we're going to be impressed with the fact that he tells us in chapter 1, last verses, that God gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Be impressed, if you will, that the word church is used in the singular, and it's referred to as the body. Well, what's it talking about? By the church, by the body. In other places, He gives us more information concerning that, and one of those other places is in the fourth chapter of this book, when He says there is one body. One body. Now, that ought to open the mind of anyone who is studying to show themselves approved unto God. What does the word one mean? Everybody understands the word one. Everybody, I'm sure. That is big enough to do any reasoning at all. Just one. Who would call that 4,000 fingers? It's just one. Everybody that can see it will agree that that's just one finger. Well, he said it's the church, but the word church is a plural term, and therefore, it's the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the body and calls it the church, and the church and calls it the body. And he figures it on the basis of what we know about the physical body. It's made up of many members. So you see, we had to go somewhere else to learn what he's talking about when he calls the church, which is a plural, the body, which is the singular. That's some things he didn't reveal by the word things that he was dealing with relative to the mystery in the book of Ephesians. So we see there is great meaning to this word, things, as we continue to study concerning it. Now then, we might go to the book of Romans and see what we can find there concerning things. In Romans, we turn first of all to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Very interesting chapter. And in Romans chapter 8, drop down to verse 28. And this is what we find. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now there's an interesting verse. I've heard that explained in so many different ways that it just completely destroys what the apostle is telling us. What in the world was he talking about when he talked about things? And we know that all things work together for the good of them. All things. He doesn't tell us specifically in that verse, does he, what things he's talking about that are so important. So what things are we to understand? Go back and start with verse 1 of this chapter. Would help us to have an understanding about some things. And he talks about some things all the way down through the chapter that go together to make God's plan to redeem lost man. Go back, if you will, to the beginning at the first verse as far as that goes. But look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What's he talking about? He's talking about what constitutes children of God. What constitutes children of God? The things that God has revealed right in the book. These are the things that God has planned to save lost souls. As we turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 again, verses 10 and 11. God had a plan, and He fulfilled that plan in Christ that gave man, all men, the right to salvation through Jesus the Christ. What did He give? Many things that was to come by Christ, that through Him we then shall be glorified by God as His children. So you see how we put the context together to find out what these things are? How many times have I heard brethren say that these things are whatever we do that is clean, free of sin? They're things that fits this verse. No, they're not. No, they're not. Keep it in the context. Put it in the context, and the things that will accomplish what it says in this verse are the things that God through Christ has given us to separate us from the world and become the children of God, redeemed by the blood of God's Son. These are the things that we should be glorifying God in and as a result of. So, we have to look someplace else to find out what these things are. But we just simply go to our guesswork as to what these things might be. that are mentioned in this one verse. But we don't learn the truth that way. We have to learn the truth as God put it together. In Romans, the first chapter, we'll take a look at another verse. In Romans, the first chapter, and verse 32. Romans 1:32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, there's the word things again. And look at the result. Who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things, are worthy of death. What things? What things may one commit and be worthy of death? Does he tell us in this verse? No. We have to go back in the context and find out what he's talking about. And what he was talking about was the ungodliness that some of these Jewish brethren were experiencing. And as the result, being separated from God, and consequently, he says they're worthy of death. Well, they've died spiritually as a result of the things that they were doing. Now, that should kind of wake up some folks. There are things that we may do that will separate us from God, spiritual death. What things will separate me from God that I become spiritually dead? Anything that is ungodly is one way of putting it. And he certainly talked about a lot of ungodliness throughout this first chapter. And in many other verses, he tells us a lot about ungodliness and the result being separated from God. So these things that God says will condemn us if we become guilty of them. So we need to know what these things are in order that we may avoid them and glorify God. So we go now to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writing has this to say, beginning at verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of that which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's just what he was talking about in first chapter of the book of Romans. Those are the things that will condemn us and make us worthy of death. But that isn't all. There are other passages that give us more of the things that will condemn us. So in order for us to know what things we must avoid, where are we going to get it? We're not going to get it down at the county library. So where are we going to get it? God has given it to us. All we need to do is study. Study. Just like we did here. We're told in one passage that these things, and we just give a very brief bat in the eye what he's talking about, there in Romans 1, and he says these things. Well, we found a long list of things that will do exactly what he says in the last verse of Romans 1, that will cause us to be spiritually dead. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. Well, as we hurry along, In Matthew 28, Jesus gives us an invitation. Matthew chapter 28. An invitation that all should give great consideration to. And He has given it to us in these words, because He's not here to give it to us personally, as He might give some kind of a gift on a personal basis, but rather He's given it to us through the words of His law. So now as we go to Matthew, the 28th chapter, take a look at verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 20. He gives the commission to the apostles to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What are the apostles supposed to do? Preach the gospel. When the gospel is preached, what is being preached? The things that God has given, when obeyed, will constitute salvation. Isn't that what He's telling us? And it's to be found, of course, in God's Word. Teaching them, to continue to teach them, to observe all things. All things. Shouldn't that cause those of us who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, becoming children of God, to want to know more about the things that He's talking about here? The things that Jesus paid for in His death upon the cross? The things that His blood made it possible? One of which is to make us children of God. Another thing is to save us from all past sins and to put us in that narrow way that leads to life eternal, providing we stay in that narrow way. So He has taught us many things through the gospel of Jesus Christ that will keep us freed from sin. Keep us children of God, there to receive all of the blessings that God has given to His people. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. So if we're not in Christ Jesus, we're not receiving all spiritual blessings. We have to do what we're told to do, what God has commanded to do. Preach the gospel, baptizing those who believe and seek to obey it, and then continue to teach them. But how sad it is that we have found so many people will be baptized, hopefully, into Christ, and never seek to be taught anymore. We had a class in this congregation a number of years ago that is set aside for those who would obey the gospel to be further taught, as we've just read here in Matthew 28. To my knowledge, and to the teacher that was selected to do the teaching, to his knowledge, no one ever took advantage of it. Isn't that sad? That's very sad. So many things that God has revealed to us in His Word that are so important and that are essential to our salvation and to our good even now as we make our way through this wilderness of sin, this world. We need to have more and stronger trust in God, but it only comes through His Word. So it is sad indeed when we find folks who are not interested in fortifying themselves against the onslaught of the evil one And consequently, just simply saying that the death of Christ was in vain. Sad indeed. Well, we could go on and on concerning this word and following down to find some of the things that he's talking about. Reading such chapters or books, the book of Philippians, full of this information for us. So we've got to go over there and study it to find these things that are so important for us. And also to find these things that will keep us from getting or being blessed by Jesus the Christ. So, what things may you be lacking so far as the things that are essential to your salvation? The things that are essential in order to make it possible for you to be in relationship with God today. There are things that you must do. Those in Acts, the second chapter, when come to the realization that there were some things that they must do, they said, what are they? What must we do? And the apostles explained to them what they must do. They heard the truth preached to them. That caused them to realize that indeed the Lord has done something that we must accept and do. Believe. Not only the fact, believe that Jesus was, but to believe what Jesus teaches. And that then will give us the courage and the information to turn away from sin. Repentance. Granting unto us the privilege and the opportunity to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord. And then putting that old body of sin to death by burying it in the watery grave of baptism, contacting the soul-saving blood of Jesus the Christ, being raised by God in newness of life, and then going forth as a child of God and not as an alien sinner against God. That's something that could be taken care of in the next half an hour if indeed you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not in relationship with God. You're not a joint brother with the Christ. And consequently, you are in a lost state. You can undo that this morning, in the next few minutes. If you have obeyed the gospel of Christ, but you haven't paid enough attention to the things that will condemn you, and consequently you have allowed some of them to separate you from God, God has provided a way for you to have them removed. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, repent, turn away from them and pray God to forgive you, and He's promised to do so. And you can do that with just a matter of minutes. And the invitation, the opportunity, is extended to you right now as together we stand and sing.